Turn over to John chapter 14. John 14. John 14, we're going to start in verse 19. It says, "After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. In that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and will disclose myself to him." Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my word, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this day again. We could assemble here and meet around your table. Father, help us as we study your word and help us keep growing. And Father, help us to truly understand what love you have for us, Father, and how you are concerned about us, that you're not far off, Father, looking, you're right beside us and wanting to be with us and helping us. Thank you so much for that. In Jesus' name, amen. So a few weeks ago, we talked about in the verse 13 through 15, we talked about prayer in the sense of how prayers can, how do we get prayers answered in the case of if we ask in the name of Jesus and God will give them to us, what context was that in? And we talked a decent amount about it's the context of having the right heart. And if you keep the commandments, is what he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And we talked about how that is loving one another. We talked in chapter 15, he says that his commandment is to love one another in verse 12. And so when we looked into that, as we kind of dealt with that, loving one another could either hinder or help the prayer life that we even have with God. And we're going to kind of tie a little bit into that today, a little bit, but look a little bit into deeper, a little deeper into what love is, what he's meaning by that, and what keeping his word is in our relationship with him. And so we're going to go in verse, this will be a part two, and I know we'll be missing next week because of brunch and stuff, and someone else is speaking next week since it's the fifth Sunday. But we're gonna go here, and we're gonna kind of end with kind of a little teaser for the rest of it. But we're gonna specifically talk about a couple verses here in verse chapter 14, verses 21 and 23. And I know it's kind of pulling them out, but in the context there, these verses have to do with the world not seeing him, but him disclosing himself to us as well. And Judas asked that question, not Iscariot, but he said, what's that going to look like? What does that mean? What's happened? And we won't talk a lot about that today, but we're going to talk about the love part today, because we talked about our love and relationship to one another, and we're going to do that and do that a little bit again today, and maybe read some of the similar verses. But we're also going to talk about God's love for us, or our love for God, because that does also depend on him disclosing himself to us or not. But verse 21, it says, "He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him." And in verse 23, it says, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will come or will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him." So in connection with making our abode with them, making our abode with us, disclosing himself to us, as it says in verse 21, he mentions the, he kind of says it, he mentions the same theme, but he reverses the order. The first one, he says, if he who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And we touched a little bit on, and we're going to touch a little bit today more so on that as well. But last time when we talked about love is that people can think, well, we keep the commandments, that's how we love God. And that's not what he's saying there. He is saying, and verse 23 clarifies that, he's saying, if you love me, he will keep my word, if anyone loves me. And that's a different view of it than if you have my commandments and you keep them, then you that's who loves me. And that's not what he's saying. He's saying, if you love me, and even that doesn't really say that in verse 21, he says, he who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. In the how he's saying that there is that person already loves me to start with, and that's why the commandments are being kept, or the instruction, or the word. And we understand some of that commandment, as we see in chapter 15, he says that is loving one another. We're going to go a little bit deeper into what is this love, what is this commandment, what does he mean by that? Is it the commandments, the Ten Commandments? You have people say, you know, they'll have those plaques, or they'll have that on a wall, or they'll try and, you know, want to put them someplace, and which isn't necessarily bad, but the view of that is that, okay, we're going to do this, and we don't do this, and we don't do that, and that means that we're a person who loves God, and that's not what Jesus is saying, and that's not what God is saying, that's not what God intended when he wrote the Ten Commandments. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22. Matthew 22, verse 34, we'll start there. It says, but when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered themselves together. One of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Then this is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. So first I want to point out that the word depend there means it means like hangs or like it balances. It is dependent. The whole law is dependent on somebody loving the Lord their God with all their heart and all their soul and all their mind and loving their neighbor as herself. That is that attitude depends the whole law. Because if you have the law, as we're going to see a little bit here later, you can have the law and not have that. And that does you no benefit. So let's turn over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 14. Now, Paul writing here again, and he quotes the same verse that Jesus quotes, the second one that Jesus quotes. But in verse 14, he says, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, and he goes on, talks about the church there, how, you know, if we bite and devour one another, take care lest we be consumed. But he's saying the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And the word he's talking about is not yourself. The word he's talking about is love. And that's if you go back to, and we'll maybe touch on that a little today too, but if you go back to people were sinning or not sinning, or the chaos in the world, or the chaos that the stuff that happens, the bad stuff that happens, you can pretty much, the one word that's in the middle of that is self. But in fulfilling the law here, Paul is saying fulfilling the law, and the one word is, the word is love. Turn back to Romans chapter 13. He makes a similar statement here and follows up a little bit more and explains it some. Romans chapter 13. Romans 13, we're going to start in verse 8. Paul writes here, he says, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not murder, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in the saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to your neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Okay, so Paul says, he explains a little bit more detail there, but notice the language he uses when he says in verse 8, he says, owe nothing to anyone except for love your neighbor, love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. And then he says, for this, or because of this, because you love your neighbor, you're not going to commit adultery against him. You're not going to murder him. You're not going to steal from him. You're not going to covet his things. Now, I know I added some words there, but he is making that statement there, is that you love your neighbor as yourself and have fulfilled the law. So you're not going to carry this out physically, is what he's really saying. And spiritually, for sure. But since you're doing it, if you're doing it spiritually, you're not hating. We talked about hate when we talked about loving last time. Is that somebody who is hating their brother is a murderer. And that's when you talk about the spiritual side of the law, is that the one who is might not murder somebody but hates them is just as guilty. That's why if we turn over we'll get to that one in a second. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. So the question might be then is that, okay, so we're saying then is that it's not about fulfilling the physical commandments of the law. It's about fulfilling the spiritual commandments of the law. And that is true. And that's why Jesus says that when he's asked about the greatest commandment, the greatest and foremost, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. And then Paul carries forth there, and he's obviously not including the first one, but that's obviously to Christians because he's right to the in Rome, in the book of Romans and the book of Galatians, he's writing to Christians already. So that is by default saying that you already are loving the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. Now, I'm not saying that just because someone's immersed means that they've already just completely easy to do that. It does take work still, but the point is that he doesn't include that one because he's dealing with the relationship of the church there. He's not excluding it. It's just already assumed that you're already loving the Lord your God. And the same thing with John, and we'll get to that in a second here when John talks about love in relationship with the Father and the church. But what he's saying there is that if we're saying that love fulfills the law, fulfills what was required of the law, that is not a physical carrying out. Even though it does happen, the physically carrying out happens because you have love in your heart towards your neighbor, because you aren't going to do the things that the law speaks against if you love your neighbor. So the question then could be, as we go to Matthew chapter 5, we'll start in verse 17, because a lot of people have struggled with this passage here in relationship to, okay, do we follow the Ten Commandments, or do we not follow the Ten Commandments, or how do we do this here? And again, it's the wrong mindset when they read through this. But verse 17, we're going to start, of Matthew chapter 5. Jesus says here, do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until it is accomplished. Whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Now, a lot of people will stop here and they'll talk about how, see, we're not supposed to take away from the law. And most congregations won't, most groups won't say that. Won't say that you take away from the law. They'll have their own form of fulfilling the Ten Commandments. Whether they say, well, we don't fulfill the Sabbath one because he changed it, Or if they change the Sabbath to Sunday, so we fulfill Sunday in that way as well. And they'll fulfill it in their physical way, one way or the other. But a key verse in understanding why he is saying this here is verse 20. He says, "For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven." How did the Pharisees and scribes, how well did they keep the law? Turn over to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, just for a second, to understand how well did the scribes and the Pharisees keep the law. And in verse 1, we'll just for old time's sake, we'll in the context there, who is he talking to? It says, "Then some of the scribes and the Pharisees came from Jerusalem, and they asked him a question." They're trying to test him here. And we're not going to read what and go over what why they asked about the unwashed hands when they ate bread and stuff like that. But we're going to start in verse 7. But we know he's talking about the scribes and the Pharisees here. And he says in verse 7, "You hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men.'" So the question is, how well did the scribes and the Pharisees keep the law? And the answer would be, is that physically, on appearance sake, they kept the law pretty good. They might have kept it, you know, for all the time. And I'm not saying that there wasn't some things that they didn't, but as far as the people, and on the physical side and on the appearance side, the scribes and the Pharisees were keepers of the law. Paul even talks about that when he refers to himself. He was a Pharisee of Pharisee. It was the tribe of Benjamin. So when Jesus says that he didn't come to annul the law, which means to take it away or abolish it, he doesn't come to abolish the law. And then he says, the one who annuls any part of this law, of the law, shall be least in the kingdom of heaven. But then he follows it up with, he says, if your righteousness is not is greater than the scribes and the Pharisees, you're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven would be the church. You're not going to be a part. You can't be a part of the church if your righteousness does not surpass that of the scribes and the Pharisees. Those who were on appearance side physically kept the law or looked like they kept the law, or they did physically. The ones who Jesus says in Matthew 15 here, he says, "This people honors me with their lips." Now, it wasn't only talking about the scribes and the Pharisees here. They're obviously the nation of Israel here, but the scribes and the Pharisees were the leaders of that. And so, or were some in leadership anyway. But he says, "They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." They were doing the physical things. They were keeping the Ten Commandments. They were keeping the Sabbath day. They didn't eat any unclean things. Even Peter, the apostle, says that in Acts chapter 10 when he has the dream of the sheet of unclean animals coming down out of heaven. He says, "I've never ate anything unclean." And he wasn't a scribe or a Pharisee. So there was people who were keeping the law and keeping the Ten Commandments in the nation of Israel in the first century or even before that. And Jesus is saying, unless your righteousness surpasses that, you cannot be a part of the church. And so God's purpose was not to physically carry something out. That wasn't God's full purpose. That did happen, and that does happen. Obviously, like Paul is explaining, that's the beauty of the New Testament there, is that the New Testament explains what he's meaning. The law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Because if you love your neighbor, you're not going to steal from him. You're not going to commit adultery against him. You're not going to covet his things. You're not going to murder him. Yeah, you're going to carry out the physical things of the law, if the spiritual fulfillment is there in the heart, but you don't always carry out the spiritual, you don't always fulfill it spiritually just because you carry them out physically. So when we talk about love, then God has always designed the fulfilling the law. God always wanted the law to be fulfilled from the beginning, but it wasn't physically like people are trying to say. It was in the heart. 1 John chapter 4, turn over there please. 1 John chapter 4. So just to clarify, it is true we do not annul a single part of the commandments. It's just not physically that we are keeping those things. I mean, yes, we do keep them physically, as in we do certain things, but the point he wanted to get across in the when he is setting those instructions out, and you can go and it doesn't take a lot to really look at it, but and it might seem like it's just really, really, you know, I'm not trying to put anybody down, but you can read through the Old Testament and you can see that God is not necessarily concerned about making sure that their hands are always clean, just for the purpose of making sure their hands are always clean or whatever it is, resting on Saturday just to make sure they rest on the Saturday. God has always been interested in the heart. Now, we don't have a physical day of rest, and we don't have, that's not what we're talking about. It's the spiritual side that we're talking about here. And in the case of fulfilling the whole law, as we're told a few times by Jesus and by Paul, fulfilling the law, or the whole law and the prophets, depend on loving thy neighbor as thyself. Obviously loving God first, but loving thy neighbor as thyself. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. It says, we love because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this is the commandment which we have found from him, or have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. So when we're talking about the relationship of God and us, if we love him, we're going to keep his commandments in the text in John chapter 14. But or if we love him, we'll keep his word. Or if we have his commandments, we are going to love. It's because we love him if we keep them. When we talk about the relationship with God, John writes in his epistle there is that we cannot love God but hate our brother. So love has something to do with more than just a physical not hurting somebody. It's within the heart. 1 John chapter 1, turn over there. 1 John chapter 1, I'm sorry, 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, we'll start in verse 7. I know we read this a couple weeks ago and read some of these things, but just repeating them a little bit here. Notice how he says it again in verse 7. Beloved, I am not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. On the other hand, I am writing a new commandment to you, which is true in him and in you, because darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. The one who says he is in the light yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause of stumbling in him. So he's saying on one hand, he's not writing a new commandment, and he's not. And that's going back to God has always intended that. God did not desire people to physically just carry out something and not have a heart for him. He's always desired that. And that was the full intention. It's not a new commandment that he's given to us. But then on the other hand, he says, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. So in Christ and under the new covenant and with the help of the Holy Spirit, he is explaining here, it's an old commandment, something God has always required, something God always has desired. And we say required, sometimes we can kind of think like, well, God has required this, and we think of a little more legalist view of it, which I'm not saying God doesn't require, but God desires this. It gets into what we're going to talk about next time when he talks about him making our abode, him making our abode with us. God desires us to have the right heart and love him. God desires us to fulfill the law in the one word, love your neighbor as yourself, or the word love. But it's an old commandment, but it is a new commandment on the other hand, because the scribes and the Pharisees and the leaders of Israel and the people of old didn't do it. They didn't do it according to the flesh, and you can't do it now even according to the flesh. So it's not a new commandment. It's an old commandment, but it's a new way that people try to accomplish it, because you can't accomplish it through the flesh. You only can accomplish it if the light is already shining, as it talks about there. He talks about the light. You cannot accomplish that through the flesh. We can't accomplish it through the flesh. Turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Verse 16. Now, he's going through a few things here in chapter 6, kind of going back and forth a little bit, and then he's also setting the pace for chapter 7 a little bit here. But chapter 6, he is talking a little bit about where you have your being slaves to sin versus slaves to righteousness, and there's that maybe that battle a little bit there, and he gets into that more into chapter 7. But notice how he says that verse 16 will start there. He says, Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? And then verse 17, he goes and says, but thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed, and have been freed, and having been freed from sin, you have become slaves of righteousness. It's not about fulfilling a physical commandment. Oh, and I'm a slave of righteousness. So I can't do this. I can't do that. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. And abstaining from physical things, even though that it does carry that. Yes, that it does carry over there. But as the Pharisees and the scribes are an example, carrying out the physical deeds doesn't mean the heart is right. And Paul says here, he says, but thanks be to God that though you were slaves to sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. Not obedient in the physical acts of the flesh. Not keeping the law based upon, well, I didn't murder my brother today, so I didn't break that commandment, but I really despise him. I know I'm kind of overlapping from last time when we talked about love a little. When we're talking about our love from God and our relationship with God, we have to understand what love is. And we can't love God if we don't love, have the right heart and have it carry over. That's how we fulfill the law. That's how that not one stroke of the law passes away. That's how we don't annul the commandment that he's instructing us. It's not about the flesh, it's about the heart. Turn to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3, verse 23 says, this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son Jesus Christ and love one another, just as he has commanded us. That sounds a little bit similar to what Jesus says. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hangs or depends the whole law and the prophets. The entire Old Testament, the entire instruction that God gave us is based upon whether we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we love our neighbor as ourselves. And he says here, this is his commandment in verse 23, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us. Verse 24, the one who keeps his commandments abides in him and he in him. By this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. Now, we're not going to touch on this too much. We'll probably visit this again when we talk about in our text in John chapter 14, where he says, he who keeps my commandments, my Father and I will come and make our abode with him. I will disclose myself to him. But it's right in connection there as well about keeping the commandment that he gave is love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your strength and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself, or love one another. And that is fulfilling the law. Not about the flesh, about the Spirit. And he who does that abides in him, and he abides in us. Turn back to Matthew 23, and we're going to stop here today after this, but just to kind of want to set the stage for next time, because not only do we understand about what love is, and we touched on that a little bit and hammered on that some, but we know in order to understand that why God wants to make our abode with his abode with us, and it kind of went along with what Brandon was talking about in Zephaniah. Again, going back to this stuff isn't new. When God's not far off looking at a distance, he is close and he wants to be with us and he wants to make his abode with us. And you see that in the Old Testament, and you could probably go pick out a few different examples and then not get all of them by our ways. But it kind of sums up here in Matthew 23, verse 37. Jesus here, he says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wing, and you were unwilling. See, you see, God isn't wanting just submission for the sake of submission. God wasn't wanting the Jews just to do something or eat a certain way, eat certain things, or abstain from certain things, or cleanse a certain way just for fun. And there were some things and reasons he had behind that. But the main reason was the heart. God didn't tell Adam and Eve not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil just because, for no reason. Obviously, they disobeyed him, and that's a big part of it. But why did they disobey him? They disobeyed him because they put themselves and they loved their self before God. It goes back to what God has intended all along is that what balances the whole law and the prophets is whether you love God and love your neighbor. The whole law is based on one word and one statement. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But you see that God is desiring that relationship. God wants to make his abode with us. It's not just a blind obedience. It's an obedience from the heart. And that's where if we love him, if we are ones who love him, we're going to keep his word. Because he first loved us. But he is designed. He's always wanted, he says here, Israel or Jerusalem to gather under him as the chick gathers her hens under her, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings to protect them and help them. He wants that. He wants to make his abode with us. He wants us to have one relationship with him. It's not just about doing the things. There's a lot of history of God's people, if you want to call them God's people, who did the things and will not be in heaven because they honored him with their lips, but their heart was far from him. And God wants the heart, and he wants that relationship from the heart. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Father, for your desire to and concern about us, your desire to have a relationship with us, Father, and the great extent you went to in sending your Son to die for us, Father. And because of that, you demonstrated your love for us. And because of that, we love you because you first loved us and we love one another. Father, we thank you for your desire to to help our heart to want to have a good heart, not just an appearance that honors you with our lips, but our heart is far from you, Father. Help us to continue to grow in that. And Father, we thank you for your concern for us, and we thank you, Father, for the God you are and the love you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.